Kay brought us together, saying that Leroy experienced this, and he's going to share some things that will help you. And I didn't know that I had this thing on. How true is that? What an encouragement you are to me. So thank you so much, Leroy, for letting me know there is a light at the end of the tunnel. I can't do this with my other hand. You can see I got it in my pocket, so I don't do anything stupid. But I can at least shake your hand left-handed a little bit. So thank you, Leroy. Also, I want to mention, before I get going, Billy, thank you. There's a lot of pressure coming up here. I remember last time you said that this is pretty easy to put a lesson together. And it's fun for me because I love putting some things together and seeing what I know and what I don't know and try to fill that space, that void. Ends up that I have to do some research, which you'll see some of that today, a lot of secular research. So don't pause with me for a little bit. Don't get too rattled because I'm going to work with secular information for a little while, but I'll tell you why also. But no, it doesn't come easy to me. Billy, and so we just have so much more to be, to acknowledge you and thank you for. I mean, how you kept this church going with the virtual work you've been doing as far as the work because of the tornado, you get that going. And this morning I needed some help with my technology, and he helped me with that. So I sent him the wrong stuff the first time, and then I sent him the right stuff, and it was quite a struggle this morning. But I just want to stop and say thank you to you as well. Lastly, my man Tone, thank you so much. What an inspiration you are to me as well. And to the rest of you as well, you're an inspiration. With Tony and I, we have this, I think of some things too, and I talk to Tony, and Tony lets me know how it is, just like Andrew does. But in this case, he talked with me about this lesson. I was not going to do this particular lesson. But he said, you know what, it's a lesson of hope. And what we need to hear is we need to hear the message of hope, always, always. It's always good to hear the message of hope. So look, Billy, if you're going to cross your legs, don't be crossing your legs in front of me like that. All right, don't get too comfortable. So the title of the lesson is called I Got This, I Got You. And no, I'm not speaking of me. I'm not talking about me here. I am actually speaking of God. And your thought could be, when God says that I got this, what's he talking about? What is the this? And when God says in your spirit, whispers to you in your spirit, I got you, what does that mean? Hopefully we'll talk about that. Well, let's start off with one of my quotes. I like to start off with a quote that we can build from. God has shown me that he is not as much interested in capabilities as he is in your willingness to act. How true does that ring in your life? I know that all these packages that are delivered, they deliver them on the front porch, and they can just sort of like pile up, and the family members, my family members, we sort of like let it pile up. We don't touch it. All but two members. That's my granddaughter, Tiana. She's got to know what's in those boxes. And my wife, Kathy. And so we don't touch them. And she comes in and says, when are y'all going to take those boxes and bring them inside? Well, I was going to do it, but you beat me to it. The thought doesn't make that much difference to the act, does it? The boxes still render themselves being outside. They're not being moved from the outside inside. And that point that she's trying to make is, will you mind acting on your thought? And so God, I think, is thinking the same thing. I believe I can have faith to know that God's thinking the same thing. That it's great to have thoughts. It's great to think about me. But it's far greater to act, to do. Oh, I can barely read that. It says, our reference here is from the Hebrews, or our reference is coming from Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 5. It says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So when we think about a God who gives up the promises, you have to think about the promises that he's already said. And we should come to the conclusion that his promises always are true. He will never renege on his promises. I will never turn my back on you. It's a promise that you can take anywhere, the bank, Wall Street, anywhere you want. But mainly, lodge it in your heart. Lodge it through your spirit, in your spirit. Lodge it through your mind. You can depend, always depend on God. He's got you, and he's got us. He's got this church, and he's got this. And I'll talk about this in just a minute. So, God is truly an awesome God. And I hope that when you hear that, you're like, your heart springs to accepting and recognizing that. He is truly a loving, compassionate, awesome God. But I'm going to prove it using my teacher pedigree. And this is where I'm talking about secular. And I just ask you guys to just wait, waddle with me through the waters a little bit as I work this. It's going to all come well. But I'm going to use some things that we teach in school. Those things like math, I'm not going to use math. Science, I will definitely use science. Language arts and history. I'm going to try to use all three of those, and you'll see how it comes together as we go along. Oh, here we go. Ready for the ride? I'm ready. 2020, what a year. As we think back on a year, I know we can think about all the many things that we had to deal with. The turmoil through wildfires out in the Midwest. The hurricanes that came through the Gulf of Mexico and also swept through the East Coast and hit us a few times as well. Black Lives Matter has also influenced our life. And not only that, but divisiveness has also occurred. I'm not going to go into what's going on. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm just going to say that we do have divisiveness. Look at the different colors. Not just that little crack that divides one side to the other, but there's also different colors in this image that said that we have differences amongst ourselves, even on those different sides of the crack. And the biggest thing of all is COVID-19. It certainly is a unique year. Certainly is a difficult year. And unfortunately, it carries a heavy price. Many people have lost their lives during this COVID year. And also, I'm just going to focus on that for right now. But now I am going to talk about this word called, or this prefix called, anti. 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 Why is that so important? Well, anti is a prefix that we used in our language to change the meaning of the word. For example, if you look at those words, freeze, terrorism, war, democratic, racial, venom, and social, its definition means exactly what it says. Freeze means actually something colder than temperature that's frozen. Terrorism and war, we all know what those words mean. But you add the word anti, or the prefix anti, to it, and it looks like this, and it changes the meaning. Here's your language arts for you for today. It changes it to the exact opposite. So anti is used in our vernacular to change words, like anti-freeze is now something that prevents freezing. Anti-wars, individuals who hate and do not subscribe to war. Use any other mechanism, any other way to get our point across, to change policies and lives, but don't use war. They hate war. Venom is actually a venom used to stop the spread of a disease, for example. And someone who's antisocial, someone who really doesn't want to be socialized, someone who does not want to be around gatherings. When people say, hey, listen, no gathering. Those are the people who say, don't bother me. I can stay right here at home, and I'll be good with this. Don't need to go to work. I can work right here using my computer. So anti, again, is being used as a word that we use to change it. But it also was used as a way of labeling. And labeling individuals. What I mean by that is that the Church of Christ has had a, in especially in the 1980s, would use antis to describe a group of individuals who were complete conservatives. Conservative in their thinking, conservative in their worship, conservative in their approach to studying the Bible and in their spiritual life. This conservative movement was frowned upon by, quote unquote, the liberals. The opposite of the antis was the liberals. And the liberals were reputed to do things that the antis were not going to do, like bus ministries, having a kitchen, supporting things that are not in the scriptures. So we have a habit in the church of using labels, and unfortunately anti is one of them. If you were a one cupper, you were described as an anti. So, antivirus. That's my first of 2 points I'm going to be talking about today, is the antivirus. I need to talk about this. I've been wanting to talk about this, and Billy has shared with you, said going back to October, November, and the message that God, I believe God had placed in my heart to tell you this morning. I'm hoping that you accept it, or at least hoping that you will look at it to at least evaluate it to see its relevance this morning. But antivirus, what does it mean? It means exactly the opposite of supporting virus. You are at war with the virus, any type of virus, whether you're talking about the old antivirus programs of the past, talking about laptops and computers or software, or you're talking about COVID-19. We are at war with this. And we have choices that we can make in going to war with this. And not only that, we need to think about what our position is when we think about going at war with against the virus. What position are we taking? Are we one who are passive toward it? What I mean by that, being passive, is a person who says, I'm not going to rock the boat on this. I'm just going to keep going and living and walking. It exists. It doesn't exist. It doesn't matter. Also, there are people who are pro-virus. Unfortunately, there are some folks who are pro-virus. They are the antivirus. Those are the folks who just totally against the virus, will do anything in their power to stop the virus from affecting other people. More importantly, outside of your position, is what is God's position on the virus? Where do you think God stands on this? And this, as Christians, this is what we ascribe to. Not just what we think, what we feel. What is God's position on this? And hopefully, after we're done evaluating that, we say, it's great, because I'm on God's side. It's great to be on this awesome God, this loving God, who is great to be on his side. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you back a little bit and tell you, and I'm going to use history to tell you about how God has been directly involved in helping people by first talking about a couple of different pandemics. Now, there's a whole bunch, a whole lot, but the ones that I've selected are the ones that go down in history as the ones that caused a great deal, and there's like two of them. And so this one is called the bubonic plague of the 1340s. And the other one is called the Spanish flu of the 1918. And the things about the bubonic plague of 1340, it impacted life as no other plague before it. And about 500 or 600 years later comes the Spanish flu that impacts it even more. But like one out of every three people died because of the bubonic plague. One out of three, or 33%, died because of that. The Spanish flu, 50 million people died because of that. Now, going back with the one out of three, 75 million people died. Now, my point in all of this is, how did they survive? How did they go through the bubonic plague? What was their mechanism? First of all, they had to figure out how it was contagious, how they were being infected. And so one of the first things they did is that we need to quarantine ourselves for up to 40 days. And also, they needed to make sure their clothes were clean And those who were infected were separated from themselves for 14 days. Where do those numbers come from? 40 days, 14 days. Where do they come from? Did they just say, you know what? Pick a number, any number. Randomly pick one. It's going to be 40 days of quarantine time for you. Oh, it's going to be 14 days for you because you've been infected. Well, I hear that the 40 days is the time in which Jesus was fasting and was separate from or being tempted by Satan. And that's where the 40 days came from. The 14 days came from the first book of when it talked about being separate when you are infected and your skin is infected. So God gave us the information from Leviticus that we are to quarantine or separate ourselves from 14 days. That's where it came from. And so that's what people did then. Again, God has always been there. He's always there. But we sometimes don't give him the credit that he deserves. We don't give him the credit that he deserves in science or the credit that he deserves in language or in our history. What else? Well, the Spanish flu happened around the same time as World War I. Yep. And look at, I wanted to talk about that mask real quick. So that's the mask that they were using back in the 1340s. And it's incredible that I had a mask on that looked something like that, and the kids were cracking up at that. But I said, that's okay. It's all right. There's one that was out there in the 1340s, and they didn't mind calling me a penguin. But it's all right. It's all good. But that's what they used back in the 1340s when they was wearing masks. Now, let's move on. All right. Oh, the Spanish flu, 1918. I won't go through all of it. I'll just tell you where there's some slight differences. In that time, guys, there's activity. There's activity, especially of those of faith. They are praying. They are asking God for help. They're asking the Holy Spirit for guidance. How do I get through this? And so the billions and trillions of prayers later, God said through the Spanish flu of 1918, do the same things you did to eradicate the bubonic plague. Not completely eradicated. There's still some in third world countries, but at least so that one-third of the population won't die anymore. Learn, guys. Learn from the past. Learn from history. And then learn this. Avoid gatherings. In place social distance. Keep a little distance from yourself. They wore masks. Again, my lesson is not about masks. Don't be discomforted about this. But I want you to know this is what people did in receiving God's prayers. Now listen, or prayers being answered by God. More masks were worn. They wore it everywhere. They wore it to parks, to schools. These schools were closed. Businesses were closed for years. Not months. We're talking years that these businesses and schools were closed. They would still eventually go to ballparks, but they would wear masks. They depended a great deal on the vaccine, just like we do, and did just like we do today. We can't wait to get our vaccine. Billy mentioned it today, where those who are 65 and older can get your vaccine. You can do that. They waited for the vaccine almost 20 years, or over 20 years, before they received the vaccine for the Spanish flu. But it's okay, because the point is that God is with us. He will never abandon us. He will never forsake us. Never. That's part of his problem. The Spanish flu. Let's talk about how the church reacted. I'm about to get into some scripture in just a minute, but I want you to know that the church reacted in several different ways. First of all, they preached, they started to focus their message on salvation, salvation only. Like, you must be saved. This is what you need to do to be saved. And so that's what they would do. They would go throughout the streets and they'll preach a message of salvation, a great deal. There were some who still assembled. There's some people in Alabama, churches in Alabama, for example, Texas, they still met. And it was across the board, different denominations still met. They met, but they also had consequences, and you know what those consequences are. In Europe, they exercised this called a repentant march. Have you ever heard of a repentant march? It's almost like saying, New Orleans, Mardi Gras all over again, but this is now in places like Florence and Venice and, I can't think of it. But anyway, it happened in Europe. And what they would do is they would go down the street praising God, just like David, how he would dance. And they didn't mind going down the streets praising him and speaking of God. In Atlanta, preachers went to homes. Couldn't gather. No problem. We'll go to the individual homes. And elders, preachers, that's what exactly what they did. Members went to the church. What about in Philadelphia, right up the road? Well, I've heard it said it. I've seen it several times. They do it today. The corners, the intersections were used a great deal to stand up and preach the word of God. Again, couldn't go to the church building. We're going to take the church to the people. I must talk about this church in Nashville, Tennessee. I must talk about this Church of Christ here. Because all the churches in Nashville did exactly what the government told them to do. Great. They closed up. They did not have services. They didn't do anything other than meet periodically. At one or two people would meet and they would have Bible studies and so forth. But this particular church in Nashville, this one out of 40 Church of Christ there decided that, you know, we're going to open our doors. We're going to make sure that people have a place to, a warm place. They took everything out. And imagine that they had benches, wooden benches, instead of these easily to move out chairs. They had wooden benches. They moved those things out of the way. They put in cots, and they changed it into a place where people can have a warm place to sleep. And a warm meal. And so research, history, all that is there for us to learn. To say, what did the people do in the past? What can we do today? It's there for us. It's God speaking to us. And saying, listen, I've answered. Listen, do some research, do some work. Find out what we've done in the past. And replicate that. Do that. Again, God used science. He used language arts. He used history. And that's small, but it's pretty much saying what's going on today with the COVID-19 and that the bold letters is that we now are quarantined for 10 days instead of 14 days. And I don't know why it changed, but it's now different. And the vaccine came 1 year later. Remember I said 22 years for the Spanish flu? Are we thinking that what a great thing that man has done? You know, be able to come up with a process to reduce the time from 22 years, which was unfathomable back in that time, to now 1 year? Are we giving credit where credit is due? Are we saying, God, thank you so much. Thank you, Father God, for coming up with a method that will help people in 1 year now? Are we saying that? Are we saying, great on humanity for coming up with a way? Are we giving science credit where credit is due? Let me move on here. So we talked about the antivirus, which is very prevalent, very relevant for us today. And God just wants us to use the simple things that he gives us in life, science, language arts, speaking, and things that happened in the past so that we don't repeat the past mistakes. But there's a far greater threat than the virus. Far greater. And we need to be speaking of this greater threat. And it's called the Antichrist. We need to be speaking of it. We need to recognize it. We need to respect it. And we need to make sure we have defenses against it. Now, I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm going to tell you what it's not. First of all, I'm going to talk to you about what it says. You've read this before. I hope you don't mind we read it again. My time is fleeting. I need to move on. 1 John speaks of the Antichrist. He says, so who is lying here? Is a person who denies that Jesus is the divine Christ? That's who. This is what makes an Antichrist. Denying the Father. Denying the Son. No one who denies the Son has any part with the Father, but affirming the Son is an embrace of the Father as well. Now, let's not make the mistake here that we're talking about one supreme living organism or being. We're not talking about that. He's talking about a plurality of spirits. It's that one person, yes, at that time. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But certainly there are many. In fact, let me go to the passage that talks about that. First John says it. John really does mention a lot about the Antichrist. In verse 2 and 3 of chapter 4, here's how you test for the genuine Spirit of God. Everyone who confesses openly his faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came as an actual flesh and blood person, comes from God and belongs to God. I should have highlighted that part. And everyone who refuses to confess faith in Jesus Christ has nothing in common with God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist that you heard was coming. Well, here it is, sooner than we thought. So in that time, looking for the Antichrist, those who denies the faith of Jesus, denies that Jesus came in flesh and blood, denies the relationship that one has with our Father, the Antichrist. That's who it is. Now, who is the Antichrist? Antiochus. Have you guys heard of Antiochus? Antiochus is mentioned in the book of Daniel. And so if you want to read Daniel, it talks about the four different kings and kingdoms. And in the chapter 11 of Daniel, it talks about Antiochus. And thank you, Tony, for that reference. And so who is Antiochus, and why should we be talking about Antiochus? Well, Antiochus was a ruler who lived 175 years before Christ. And where he ruled was in the area of Syria, and people, the Jews, remembered him because of his rule. He was a tyrant. He was one who raised taxes. That in itself is pretty bad. Just to raise taxes, that's bad. But listen, he burned the sacred scriptures. And, I mean, today we can go to a bookstore, any store, and buy a Bible, get any kind of reference material, all kind of things. We can get it online. But back in that day, the scribes had a lot of work to do to keep things going so that people have access to information. And it wasn't that much. It wasn't that readily available. So when he burned the sacred scriptures, he was torching the culture of that time. All right. He outlawed circumcision. You all know that God demanded circumcision, and he outlawed it. And it gets worse. He placed a statue of Zeus in the temple, idol worship. And if you think that's not bad, how about sacrificing swine on the altar? That's what Antiochus did. And so when he talks about the Antichrist, it's not a coincidence that he's mentioned the Antichrist and describing him because they understand it using someone who came before them, the Antiochus, who was a ruler. They understand that, and they understand it as a supervillain. All right. Enough of that. So, he's compared to a despicable ruler, not Satan. He is not Satan. It's the point of the Antichrist. He existed then. He exists now. And I don't mean he. There's the Antichrist exists now, so we need our defenses up. And he exists when Christ returns. He confuses. He brings confusion to the spiritual world and what God wants for his people. That's what the Antichrist does. And we all know we don't need confusion in the church, do we? By denying the existence of Jesus as the Christ in the flesh. And he says that the resurrection, which is the cornerstone of our faith, the Antichrist believes that the resurrection is just an idea. It's really just no different than Greek myths and mythologies, Roman and Greek mythologies. No different than that. Thank you, Father, for reminding us this morning that you got our back. That through all the times, the tough times, no matter if it's famine or anything associated with the weather or the virus or in our spiritual world. Because of the anti reminds us that there is problems, there are challenges. But thanks be to God that he is here and that he gives us hope and he has our back. I got this, but mainly, I got you. Please hear this loud and clear, that God wants us to know that I have you every step of the way. And the reason why we know we have faith in that, the reason why we know that for certain, because this is not our world. This is just our journey, as Tom told me earlier today. This is just a journey. And it's a very short journey. We're trying to make it as pleasurable as we can. We're trying to do that. But our goal is not here. Our goal is in heaven. It's a spiritual world. And our faith is going to carry us through, knowing that God is going to carry us to that place. I got this. I got you. Let God whisper that into your heart today. In summary, God is awesome. He's pro-humanity. He is not anti-humanity. Even when we tick him off, and he says, I want to destroy every last one of you. Nope, I can't do it. I can't do it. And his promises are sure. He has our back during any time. During any time. Here's my message. Give him credit. Stop categorizing things to say, this is of science, so we need to credit science. Well, okay, that's great, but through science, God did this. Let's stop patting ourselves on the back. But give God credit for using science, for using history, for using language, for using those things to help humanity. Give credit where credit is due. Yeah. Had to come up with some acronym as I get ready to close, guys. I like it when Billy does the acronym stuff. He did one on, never mind, I'm getting off task, I'll be back on task. God wants us to learn from history, actions of past. And when we think about past, we need to think about the first part of past, when we need to pivot or move away from adversity. Adapt, learn how to overcome without jeopardizing relationships. That's one of the hardest things that we had to endure these past few months, is how do I still relate to one another? How do I still do that? And we're so socially distanced. And we managed to do that. Thank goodness for virtual. Thank goodness for Zoom. Thank goodness for Billy that he knows how to use that. Jimmy, that he knows how to put it in place for us. The S in past stands for survive. Learn how to cope while living with the adversity. And last but not least, we're not just to survive. We're not just to stick our head in the sand. We're not just to breathe in, breathe out. We are to thrive. And hopefully you think about those examples that I mentioned that happened during the Spanish flu. Those places in Atlanta and Philadelphia, what did they do? And what are we doing? 100 years from now, when they talk about the Spanish flu, somebody gets up and compares Spanish flu with the COVID-19 100 years from now. What would they say about the church? What would they say? This is what they did during COVID. They demonstrated their love for God by doing this. Again, the first point we talked about was talk the walk or walk the talk. Which one are you? Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Since God assured us I'll never let you down, never walk off and leave you, we can boldly quote, God is there, ready to help I'm fearless no matter what. Who or what can get to me? I got this. I got you.
Oh. I don't know why I bring these notes here. I don't use them.
But I do want to read something that Tony said, and then I'll close. Tony wrote this. So there are vaccines out now to be distributed that doesn't change anything. We still need to know that God used science to invent the vaccines and has our backs. There's a different strand of the virus in England and the United States, which is another reason for us to be wrapped in God's arms. And yes, people who are suffering from COVID fatigue. And there is strife between mask wearers and non-mask wearers. But in the midst of all that, God still has us. It's true we lost people, a lot of souls. God needed to get our attention, our focus, to make us realize that he still has us. Thank you, Tony. So my lesson concludes. I hope that you accept it, recognize that it's value. Hope you got some value out of the lesson today. But mainly I want you to know that in God having our back, he wants us to be saved. And in order to be saved, we need to listen to his word. You know, believe that he is the true and only living God. Confess that Jesus is the Christ. Be baptized. Wash away your sins. Be converted. Repent. I forgot that one. Repent. And remain faithful. If you have any desires of the church today, please stand. Please come as we stand and sing this song. And you at home, and you want to have prayer, you need any help, please contact us. Be glad to help you in any way to make sure your spiritual life is on a better road, better track. Let us stand and sing.